I want to say thanks to Bob for inviting me to share this morning, and I want to say Happy Father's Day. You're like, who is that lady? I'm the pastor's wife. Just the pastor. That's my claim to fame. Yay! Anyway, I get to be the pastor's wife, but good morning. It's good to have you here. Are you all awake? Okay, good, because we're ready for an awesome thing. What I really hope to do when you leave today is I want you to have a different impression about the Father God's love for you. Okay? For who? For you, right, and for me. Because sometimes we have this view of who God is and what he is, and sometimes we got that view by looking at an earthly father, and that might have been a good view or not so good view, because sometimes Father's Day is a hard day for some of us, isn't it? And so my goal today is for us to, one, because everybody in the room has a father. I don't like the fish wrapper. No, I'm sorry. Everybody in the room has a father. So for us to maybe take that view of our father, and instead of looking through him to decide who God is, because that's what we tend to do, right? We look at our earthly father to decide who God is, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. God didn't call us father, he didn't call himself father so that we would determine who he is based on our earthly father. So what I want us to do instead is to look at God and who he is. And who is he that for? He's that for you, for everybody in this room, that you would leave here understanding that there is a Father God, an unchangeable Father God that loves you. And how the five things today that he does because he is your father. And whether or not your earthly father mirrors that, that's another issue. So, but one thing, that you would understand who God is based on what he says about himself. The other thing that I want to do, and my goal is that some of you who are fathers, that you leave here extremely encouraged. Have you ever noticed that on Mother's Day you come and it's like this pep rally, yay for moms, moms are the greatest, yay for moms. But you come on Father's Day, it's like, oh, you guys are doing a really lousy job, you better get with it. Have you noticed that? Did somebody just feel sad for daddies just now? Yeah. I really, really, really don't want you to go feeling like we just got scolded for not being good fathers. Because at the end of this session, here's my words to you. Well done. Well done, Dad. You're doing good. You're doing good. And every time that you do good, that just reflects a little bit more of what he's like. A little bit more of him is shining through you. And well done. Good job. Keep up the good work. Are you perfect? Who in the room is a perfect father? Who in the room had a perfect father? So you're like, Vicki, you have no idea. And it's really sad. I hear a lot of stories of people who have been really hurt by their fathers. But I just want you to stop and make a choice today. Are you willing to change what you think about God and to choose to believe what you think about God based on his word instead of based on what you saw? Did you hear that? It was a lot of words. Did you hear what he just said? To choose, hi Catherine, to choose to base what you believe about God on his word instead of on what you saw. That's a powerful choice. Because there are some of you who are sitting there going, oh, I'm destined to be a lousy father after all. Look at my dad. And look at the choices. Look how I was treated. And you know, they say what goes around comes around. I don't know if that applies to this, but it sort of seemed at the moment that it did. And so what we have to do is we have to say, that is no longer an excuse. Because according to the word of God, I have what kind of father? A good, good father. And that's who he is. And I am loved, and that's who I am. You have a good, Cody, you have a good, good father. That's who he is. Both Codys. They're sitting in a row. Both Codys. So my goal is that you would understand that father that belongs to you. He is your father, and he's good. And my other goal is that you would, if you're a dad, decide to imitate him. One thing that I do want, a favor, hi Eli, come on in, is that I would like you for a second to decide not, as we're doing these five things, to not think critically of your dad. Isn't that something that's counterculture? to choose to not think critically of your dad. Don't say, okay, that's who God is. Now, how's my dad? Whoa, he's way off. No, this is God. Now, where's my dad? And what did he do well? In these five things, what did he do well? Because we want to say, Dad, thank you. And we want to mean it. We don't want it just to be words. So thank you. So what did he do well? What did he do that was a good, good dad? Okay? So boy, I just asked you a whole bunch of stuff that I want you to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a second and we're going to pray. And we're going to say, Lord, please, Lord, if you need to change my mind about fatherhood, about you, please do it. Invite him to speak. Can you do that? Three of you can. No. So even if you didn't answer me, yeah, let's just bow our heads and let's just ask God to speak to us. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that even in a culture that sometimes bashes dads and men, and criticizes them and holds them to a different standard, and we're slow to say thank you. In that culture, God, we want to turn and we want to look at you and see what is the standard? Who are you? What kind of a father are you to us? Lord God, I just ask that you would just please open our hearts to your word today. And I humble myself to you. And I ask that if you would choose to speak your word through me, through the Bible, I ask that you would do that today to bring glory to you. God, I praise you. You are a good, good father to me, and that's what I need. And I am loved. That's who I am. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to lean into that today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I mean by lean into that? No? You don't know? When sometimes you're singing a song and it's like so true, it's just like, do you ever take your body is like, I really, really want to, I really believe that. I want to lean into that. I want it to settle in my soul so that whatever, if you have any woundings from your father, that those would be diminished in the light of this father. He's not literally right there, but you know what I mean? In our Heavenly Father. Okay, are you ready? So five things that there is about God. The first one is this. God is a caring Father. He cares. This is huge because there are people that say, well, I believe in God, but he's like there and he's not involved in my life. He doesn't know about my life. And so he therefore obviously doesn't really care about me. But your God, your Father God, cares about you. He loves you. And he cares most, let's just pause here for a second because I was going to say this before, but he cares most about making you happy. Right? No. He doesn't care most about making you happy and healthy and keeping you a nice, wealthy smile on your face. No, that's not what he cares about most. What he cares most about is spiritual transformation so that you learn to know him and love him more and are changed by who he is more and more and more through the circumstances of your life, through the power of the word of God, that you are transformed because any dad can take care of your needs. And that's good. There's some value in that. But any dad that says, I care most about their eternal destiny, I care most about what they think about things that matter for all eternity, that is an amazing thing. And that's the theme of these five things we're going to talk about. That's the theme of caring. He cares for you. He loves you. And you know what that love is based on? What's that love based on? It's based on performance, right? If I obey enough, then God will love me more. Is that the way that works? No, that's not the way it works. God loves you because he has decided to love you. Nahum 1:7. Should we have a sword drill, see who can get to Nahum first? Oh, Jim, I know, it's on the wall. But it is also in your Bible. Did you know that? It's in your Bible. So Nahum 1:7 says this, "The Lord is good. The Lord is good, a refuge," which is another word for hiding place, a refuge in times of trouble. Listen to this. He cares. He cares for those who trust in him. If you could quote 1 Peter 5:7, could anybody quote that? Quote it in your mind. Cast your cares on him because he cares. Or this version says anxiety. Cast your anxiety, the things that trouble on you, trouble you on him because he cares. Caring implies something, doesn't it? It implies that he knows. He not only cares, but he knows, and he cares because he knows. Do you know that the thing that is troubling you right now, what is it? What is that thing that's troubling you right now? The thing that's making you anxious? He knows. He knows and he cares. And that is huge. That is huge. 2 Peter 1:3. Let's turn there. Everybody, take your Bibles. Turn. Not 2 Peter, I meant 2 Corinthians. It's not even close to the same. 2 Corinthians 1:3. And while you're turning there, I say at the first service, I hope that they put the second service online with. The first service, I felt so emotional. I was like, because you know what? Truthfully, I really don't want to mess this up. Because we have, a lot of us in the church, whether we've been in the church for a long time or a short time, we have a distorted image of God the Father. You know, because Jesus is the good guy, and God's the bad guy, and he's trying to get us. And he only loves us if we obey him. And you know what? That is not exactly biblically accurate. And so I also know that a lot of people walk into church on Father's Day feeling wounded by fathers. That the reflection has been faulty, because either they've totally abandoned or abdicated that role, and it's been painful. So I really want to handle this well. Let's look at what God is like. 2 Corinthians 1:3. You got it there? I know it's on the wall, but if you have a copy of the Word of God, please turn there and maybe underline this verse in your copy of the Word of God. And forgive me if mine is slightly different than what's on the wall. Praise. Praise be to the God and Father. He calls himself Father. Do you know, don't you find that interesting? Do you think God knew that there would be a time in our society and culture when the word Father didn't necessarily always have a positive connotation? And he calls himself Father, and then people would be like, whoa, wait. He knew that because a father is a provider, and he cares, and he wants you to know who he is. So let's see. Okay, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I think in that verse, you get extra points the more chances that you use comfort. Right? Is that comfort, comfort, comfort? I think God comforts. Okay, implication. If God's going to comfort you, what does that imply? That he knows about the things that, oops, I just told you. He knows. He knows. Isn't that amazing? How many human beings are alive on the planet right now? God knows yours. He knows the stuff that's worrying you, the troubling you. And he's not just a prickly, here, let me fix that. Like a porcupine, he is the kind of God that cares. He loves you. I love I love the words in the song we just sang. It says, love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. What's that mean? It never gets on empty. Whoops, I'm out. There is always more, and it overwhelms, and it satisfies my soul. This is the love that God has for me, this comfort, this caring that I get from God. And I never, ever have to be afraid. Why? Because he cares. And I can cast my cares on him because he cares for me. And whether it is is family struggles that you have, or financial, or medical, or whatever is going on in your life that's causing anxiety, He cares. And He is the God of all comfort who cares for you. And that comfort is unconditional. That care is for you. Now, this is choosing to believe this has radically changed my life. Choosing to believe that that God loves me and He's good and He loves me and cares for me has radically changed my life. So I want to say this. Thank you. Dads in the back row, happy Father's Day. And thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for reflecting the love of the Father by caring for your children, by protecting them and comforting them and giving them kindness that came from the Father God first. The second thing is God is a consistent Father, just like all of us. He's very consistent. You know, some days, some people might say, well, I never know quite what to expect from my dad. He might be extremely gracious and open and accepting to me, or he might be really cranky. Or he might be, you know, ask this one day and ask that the next day. Or he might be loving and attentive, and the next day he's distant. The fact is, people, that teenage girls aren't the only ones who are moody. Dads sometimes are too. And you know why? It's not hard to understand why, because life happens, right? Life happens, and circumstances and fatigue and emotional pain and all this stuff happens, and that affects us as parents, doesn't it? It affects me as a mom. Some days I'm a lot better at being gracious to my kids and kind than I am other days. But that's not how God is. What affects His compassion for you? What affects His love for you? Answer this. If you obey Him more, does He love you more? Are you sure? The fact is that obedience does bring blessing, but obedience does not make God love you more. Obedience brings blessing, but obedience does not make God love you more. And disobedience doesn't make Him love you less. So that's a good excuse to go out and disobey, right? No, but it's clear if we want to have that fellowship, that abiding with God, then obedience has to come with it. But it's because of love. It's because of His unconditional, unchanging, always consistent, every day the same, faithful, every day, new mercies. How many mornings? Every morning. Every morning. Am I making this up or is this scriptural? That's Hebrews 13:8 says that He is the same. When is He the same? Three ways. When? Yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same. Always the same. Turn to James 1:17. Because I want you to know that this is scripture. This isn't like some idea that we came up with on our own. James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who, what's the next three words? Does not change. He does not change like shifting shadows. He does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Does He change? No, He doesn't change. And the way He feels about you never changes, ever, which is huge. Psalm 57:10 talks about His unfailing love reaches to the heavens. Unfailing love. This is huge. Okay, so here I just want to pause for a second. Now, I didn't tell you one single thing that you didn't already know before you got out of your car. Not one. But I want to ask you, have you allowed that to sink in onto your soul? That this God who created, who was before there was anything, who created it all and sustains it all and knows all, loves you completely in an unfailing way, unchanging, absolutely consistent way. Just lean into that, cling to that, because that's truth. And could you just, Dad, reflect that unchanging love just a little? No, you can't, right? Because you're just human. But I kind of remember something that happened to Peter and the other apostles. Remember when Jesus said, wait a little while and my spirit's going to come? And what happened? Who came and dwelt within them? The Holy Spirit, who is God. God's Spirit came and dwelt in them. And that's good for them because that happened a long time ago, but we're in trouble. Right? No, you, Dad, you have God's Spirit. If you put your faith in Christ, the moment you did, God's Spirit came and made a residence in your life. He is alive and he's living in you. And anything he asks you to do, including loving your children when they're not that lovable, you can do that too. You can do that too, no matter what age they are. Fathers, thank you for being faithful to our family. Thank you for being like God in your faithfulness. Fathers, you look so much like your Heavenly Father when you, by a spirit of self-control, take the things that make you inconsistent, that make you unpredictable, that make you a little bit like, oh, is he safe? And you bring those things under captivity to obedience to the cross. You are doing so good at being more consistent. Thank you. Third thing, God is a giving Father. We like this because we all want to get stuff, right? God is a giving Father. He gives. So what does he give? Matthew 6:31 says, so do not worry saying, what are we going to eat for lunch? Who's thinking that right now? Who's going to Red Lion for roasted chicken? No, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans who don't know God run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Turn over to Matthew 7:9. Which of you, I love this verse, it's awesome. It gives us a clear vision for God's heart for us. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Oh, you're hungry? Here, chew on this. Right? Do you do that? They might call that a little mean. Yes? Okay. Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, it's like sort of obvious, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Good gifts, not harmful gifts. Now, we need to apply this realistically because we know that every good gift comes from God. We just read that, right? Who does not change. And God is giving you good gifts. And because he's good, he is always good. And because he loves you, he continues to give. And you look at what's in your hand and you think, well, that doesn't look good to me. This disease or this hardship or this, whatever this is, it doesn't look so good to me. What I want is this. And sometimes we think we know what is good for us, and we go to God and we say, oh, God, can I have that? It's sort of like Eli walking to his dad and saying, Dad, can I just eat chocolate for the next 30 days and nothing else? No, and his daddy might say yes. No, just kidding. No. Would that be good? Would that be good for his dad to say yes? Of course not. Dumb example. Dumb. But God's like, I will only give you what is good, and everything that I give you will be good. In fact, he made a promise that all things work for the good of those who love him. For remember, because the overarching theme is to make you look more like Christ, for your eternal character to be changed, for your soul to be transformed. And so the thing that he's given you, is it good? It's hard, but it's good. Good, because he is good and all his ways are good. If I could just somehow say how much it has changed my life to know that God is good. Instead of looking at the circumstances and basing my belief about God, let's look at God and base our belief on our circumstances. Does that make sense? To say, God, you are good, and so you will use this for good. That is just huge. That is huge. I want to say this, what I wrote, so I'm going to read it because I want to say it well. Fathers, fathers in the room, you reflect God so well. Not because you are a good giver, not because of some gender society rules about providing, but because God has given you the role of provider and giver. So thank you. Thank you for taking care of your children. Thank you for giving of your energy, of your time, of yourself. You're a good, good father. Because you give. And when you give, you look a little bit more like Jesus. You look a little bit more like your Heavenly Father, who is that shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Fourth thing, this is not a fun one, but it's true. God is a father who disciplines. I'm choosing five things about God. Why would I put in the discipline one? Because this is so important. This is more evidence that he's a good father. He disciplines. But before he disciplines, Ephesians 4:32 says that he forgives. So any of you ever need discipline? Emphatically, yes. We all loved it when we got it, right? Can you remember some of the disciplines you got as a child? Some of you are like, yeah, it was yesterday. Sometimes it's not fun to be disciplined, right? But we're disciplined because we know the right way to go and we choose to go another way. And the loving father says, that's not okay. But first, before he disciplines, he forgives so that he takes himself out of the equation. My feelings are hurt. I feel like you failed me and all that stuff. He forgives. Forgive. Fathers, when you forgive your adult children, when you forgive your infant son for not sleeping, when you forgive, you look like your Heavenly Father. Forgive. And then discipline. The Bible is just boatloads of verses about discipline for training and correction. Discipline's for our good, even though we hate to admit it. And it has to be administered because of love. Because of love. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, I guess in that culture it was sort of implied and understood that a man was going to discipline his son. As a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Job 5:17, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son that he delights in. You say, how does delight and discipline come together? They always have to. You can't say, I delight in you, but do whatever you want. God doesn't do that. It's not okay for us to do whatever we want, because that way leads to destruction. And our Father who loves us doesn't want us to go that way. So he turns our way with discipline and correction to go a different way. And we say, you must not love me. Did you ever say that to your dad? Or at least think it? And here's where the human part comes in, because not all fathers disciplined in love, nor did they forgive first, and you could tell. But God does. God does. Don't say, I don't want that part of God. Then you are rejecting the Father God himself, because this is who he is. He's a good, good father. And his guidelines for you are for his are for your good and for your protection. Thank you for disciplining in love and for the good of your children. And you know what? Because it takes a whole lot of time, right? Have you ever noticed that discipline never happens when it's convenient? Discipline takes a whole lot of time. It takes a ton of self-control and energy. Thank you for giving those things to your children. Thank you. Fifth one. This is my favorite. God is a father who expresses his approval. Now, I'm just gonna tell you just an awesome story in Matthew when Jesus was going to be baptized, which we say we follow the Lord's example in baptism, right? That's what we say, because Jesus went to be baptized. And that's one reason we do baptism, to follow his example. So he's being baptized, and as he's coming up out of the water, the most amazing thing happens. The whole Trinity makes itself, it reveals itself. Okay? Who are the three parts of the Trinity? There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all real, they're all distinct, and all powerfully at work. And they show up right there, because the Holy Spirit, you know, how's he show up? In a dove. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus as in a dove. He makes himself seen. And then Jesus is there, you know where he is, the Son. It says he's coming up out of the water. So we have the Spirit and we have the Son, and what about the Father? The voice comes from heaven, and what does he say? This is my Son, and yeah, he's what I got. I'm kind of stuck with him. No, what does he say? He says, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son. This is the Son that I love, and I am so pleased with him, and I want everybody to know. He expresses his approval. He expresses his love. Wow, dads, when you express your love to your child with your mouth, that is hugely like God. Because that's what he does. He says it. And I love that he says it. And he says it with so much energy. I'm well pleased. But of course he would say that about Jesus. I mean, Jesus, you know, Jesus was perfect. Of course he was pleased with Jesus. What's he say about you? Has God the Father said anything about you, about how much he loves you? He has? Where? In the Bible? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of verses, just tons of verses where he wrote it down. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord declares his love for you is everlasting. Everlasting, how big is everlasting? Forever, it's everlasting. It's kind of self-explanatory. It's everlasting. It goes on and on and on and on, and it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never have to be afraid because it's everlasting. Everlasting. Zephaniah 3:17 says, he delights in you, and he delights over you with singing. That is so cool. Unless you're like, oh, that's sort of feminine. I don't want anybody singing over me. But this is so cool. He has great delight in you, and his love will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing. He loves you, and he wants you to know it. And so he told you. He told you. You don't have to wonder. He told you. He told you with writing. Fathers, thank you for saying it. Thank you for using your words. And by words, I mean verbalizing it, and I mean writing it. Thank you for the notes that you have put in backpacks, and the notes that you put in lunchboxes, and the notes that you've put in emails, and the notes that you have stuck under the pillow of your kids' beds. Thank you for writing it, because that is powerful, and that will never be forgotten. Ever. Thank you for telling others, like God did, how you feel about your child. I have had the unfortunate circumstances, standing beside a parent when they're talking about their child who is also standing there, and it was not nice stuff. Really putting them down. Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, well, it's the best we could get. What in the world? Is that what God did? Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. Let's tell others how you feel about your child. And when you do, fathers, thank you for doing that, because when you do, you look a lot more like the Heavenly Father. Okay, I'm about ready to wrap up. So today, when you leave here, and I already asked this, and I pray this like crazy, my total prayer is that when you leave here, that your image of your Heavenly Father is different than it was when you came in, that you accept it, that you let it sink down into your soul because it's true. And some of you today, when I sat here and you're a father and I said thank you, you're like, who's she talking to? I didn't do that stuff. I never wrote a note to my child. What would be a good way to respond to that thought? Who said that? Yes, Andy! Yay, Andy Merrick's awake! I mean, yay, Andy! Andy's awesome. Such a hard worker. Do you ever work really hard? My dad's a dairy farmer. He works really hard, and then he sits down. I think that's why Andy, but I'm safe. Tart. Okay. What did you say again?
Do it!
Do it! Yes! All right. Do it. Do it! And can you... can you, even if you didn't have a good example, could you be the dad? Could you be the dad that goes toward your child? I don't care if they're young or they're old. I don't care what they did to you or how they hurt you or how they walked away from your value system. Could you go toward them? I'm not saying accept sin and condone sin or anything like that, but could you go toward them and let them know that your love for them is unconditional, just like God's? Could you write a note? Could you write a note and say, I haven't told you lately, but I love you? Could you be that dad? Yes, I absolutely believe you could today begin to reflect the Father with His power going toward you, your Father, your Heavenly Father living His life through you. So, I said I was going to say it, and I'm done. But here, I want you to look at me, every dad in the room. And please, if you are thinking negatively of your dad right now, take that thought captive, okay? Take it captive. Bind it up. Stop thinking negative. Now think something positive. What of these five things has your dad done well? Wouldn't it be like your father, God, to tell him, Dad, thank you. And to really mean it. It doesn't mean we think they're perfect. I think they probably already know they're not. But let's tell them thank you. Let's tell them thank you. And so I will be the first today. Some of you, I don't know. I don't know. Others of you do. And I want to say thank you. Well done. Good, good fathers. Good and faithful fathers, thank you. Let's pray. Father, you are the standard. And I know that when we look at ourselves as parents, we sometimes feel like we're failing. Because sometimes we fail. Lord, I pray that you would redeem our failures, that you would pull us up from the pit, and that you would give us a new purpose, new strength today, mothers and fathers together. And Lord, I pray that you would fill every one of us as children with so much grace towards our fathers, that we would humble ourselves, even if our dads don't come toward us, that we would go towards them with grace. And God, above all else, I praise you that I never have to be afraid, because you are my Father. You are the Father to the fatherless, and you're good, and your love never fails, and it never runs out. Thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, who is our only way to the Father, we pray and we say, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Father's Day.